Remember when President Trump called the school resource officer outside the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School a coward for not running into the building during the shooting rampage? The guard, Scott Peterson, later said he thought the shooting was outside. But Trump told the governors he was addressing he wouldn't have backed away.
You know, I really believe, you don't know until you test it, but I think I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. And I think most of the people in this room would have done that too. But the way they performed was really a disgrace.
Well, that launched a storm of ridicule from those pointing out that they saw Trump as running away from service in Vietnam with 5 deferments. The Boston Globe quotes combat vets like Michael Stalky, sympathetic to the guard. Michael tweeted, "I've seen folks freeze during exercises with blanks. Your buddy whacks you on the head, tells you to get moving. One man alone, they don't have that support." But our next guest was more likely thinking about the use of the word coward over the course of history. Fear of being called a coward has started wars, but also propelled soldiers to win them. And what about moral cowardice, being afraid to do the morally right thing, especially if people will think you're a coward for doing so? What about the problem with the word for young men who are afraid to back down from a deadly fight lest they be called a coward? And Boston University professor Chris Walsh also writes, when it comes to policy, the word coward oversimplifies, insinuates that questions of policy are matters of machismo, that decisiveness is best, even if the decision to take action may be wrong. His book is Cowardice, A Brief History, and Chris Walsh joins us. Welcome.
Thanks.
And what was your first thought when you heard the president use this word, coward?
I'm not terribly surprised. The word gets trotted out a lot in these terrible situations. The slight wrinkle being that this time, in the case of Mr. Peterson, he was apparently supposed to be doing something that he did not do. Usually the word is applied to the mass shooter, to the terrorist.
For taking action.
Right.
So take us a little bit through the history. The word coward has propelled presidents like Lyndon Johnson, who said he thought he'd be called a coward if he didn't continue the war in Vietnam.
Right.
It's propelled soldiers. Give us a little bit of the history of it.
Right. Well, it's the driving force behind so much violent conflict. You can't really have a war if everybody agrees to be cowardly. And so we see in American history, for example, the first thing George Washington has to do when he takes over the Continental Army is to confirm court-martial cases for cowardice and to lament that such a crime is the worst thing that somebody can do because it can endanger not only one's immediate comrades, it can lose a war. The combination of being terribly destructive in that way, but also kind of pathetic. I mean, you think of the cowardly lion, this sense of being abject. And so that combination of destructiveness and patheticness disgusts us. So we slap it on any terrible thing that happens.
Well, but you say, when you say us, I mean, let's just think of us as Americans mm-hmm. right now. You actually write that there are cultures that are warmongers. Yeah, I mean, we think of ISIS, right? That is their whole purpose.
Right.
And the entire culture is about fighting and that's what they're about.
Right.
But the beauty of being Americans is that we can sing, as you write, of being the home of the brave, but also know that fear of warfare is wise.
Right.
So that's not cowardice.
Right. That's prudence.
And so when is cowardice prudence?
Well, I'll give you a definition of cowardice that I think holds up across time and culture, and that is a failure from excessive fear to do one's duty. When one does one's duty, no problem. When one fails in duty because of a fear that is just, then one isn't being cowardly. We look at that definition and ask ourselves, okay, what is the duty called for in this case? What I regret about the way the label coward is used when we hear it in the news is typically it's a way of distracting us from things. I think the concept is actually really helpful, more ethically useful than courage or heroism because it pushes us to ask questions. It's typically used as an answer to a question. Oh, those Boston Marathon bombers, why'd they do it? They were cowards, right?
Well, and you go even deeper. I mean, you really deep dive into this one word, coward. And there is the thing that somebody might do that somebody might call cowardly, but it's actually the thing that's avoiding a terrible blunder.
Right.
People in the 60s who left the country to go to Canada,
right,
so they wouldn't participate in the war in Vietnam, were called cowards.
Right.
Later, even McNamara saw it differently. Then there's also the kind of thing that would be called cowardice that is such a deep fear that you can't act. I mean, I'm thinking of that soldier who wrote after Donald Trump's claim that he wouldn't be a coward. There's an actual physical inability. As you say, trauma can break even the bravest of people down.
Yeah, and I think we've come to a greater recognition of that in the past century or so. And so we understand that soldiers in particular who have to deal with repeated instances of combat, everybody's account of fortitude runs dry eventually, and we don't hold it against them anymore.
After the president's remarks, there was also a huge thread from a group, hashtag Vets for Gun Reform, saying things like, you have no idea how scary it is to face a military-style weapon or an AR-15.
Right.
And they seemed more forgiving of, again, we don't know what happened to Mr. Peterson, but they seemed more forgiving of his inability to go in with his shotgun.
Right.
Than others were.
Yeah, they know the particulars of the situation and have experience there. Yeah, and it's also no accident that we hear from soldiers about that. Soldiers have been great leaders of peace movements.
Well, tell us more about this notion that using the phrase coward, again, it helps nations rise up when they see something that needs to be attacked in times of desperate need, you know, think World War II, you know, is a way to get the troops out there. But when else in history did it lead to a mistake, a notion that somebody felt less masculine if they didn't respond?
Well, you referred to LBJ, as I believe in 1965, pondering what to do in Vietnam and deciding to escalate involvement because, as he said, if I leave South Vietnam, I will be seen as a coward and my nation will be seen as an appeaser. Can look back at the Civil War and the lead up to that, both sides marshaling support for their cause by saying that people that didn't support them were cowardly. Soldiers on the ground have been studied about their motivation, and very few of them aspire to be heroes. What applies to all of them is that none of them want to be thought of as cowards. Mm. And that's what makes soldiers do their duty, stand sentry, charge, attack if necessary, not because they want to be heroes, but because they don't want to be seen as yellow.
You write in 1914, although Germany had complicated reasons for declaring war, one of them was the Kaiser's concern about being thought a coward. The war that came, the Great War, Teddy Roosevelt called President Woodrow Wilson the leader of a cult of cowardice for not getting involved in that war.
Yeah. But if instead we look at that definition and ask ourselves, okay, what is the duty called for in this case?
So it's been used over the decades, especially when it comes to war. But what are your thoughts on how it impacts policy?
Right.
So now you have a president calling a security guard a coward. And, you know, by some of the definitions we've just said, he may have been.
Mm-hmm.
He may have frozen.
Right.
He may have thought, I can't go in there. I can't fight an assault rifle with a gun. We don't know.
Right.
Or he may have, as he said, he may have thought the shooting was outside and he's not a coward at all.
Right.
But now we're talking about policy. The implication is, therefore, we need to arm teachers in schools. Talk about the use of the word coward as affecting policy.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's typically very helpful in considering policy. It leads to a sense that nuance is a kind of weakness, that being decisive is best, even if the decision is wrong, a kind of knee-jerk escalation reaction. Oh, somebody had a gun. Well, we'll get two guns.
And or a bigger gun.
Right, or a bigger gun.
But you also say that there's another side effect of people being afraid of being called cowards.
Yeah, and that can lead to reckless behavior. And so putting guns in the hands of teachers or in the desks of teachers puts them in a situation where they have to wonder if it is their duty to wield that weapon, or they'll be called cowards. And history has shown that most of the time that won't end well.
You also remind us of one of the great books that tackles this issue of what is courage, what is cowardice. It's Stephen Crane's Red Badge of Courage. It's about a Union soldier, Civil War, who a teen who had these dreams of glory.
Right.
Then he comes upon the real thing, real battle. He's afraid. He runs away.
Right.
And over the course of like making his way through these battlefields, he gets a wound, but it has nothing to do with war. He's in somebody's way, and they hit him with a rifle butt. And he thinks he's the only one, and he meets another soldier.
Right.
Who was afraid and ran away. And that actually gives him the courage to fight.
Mm.
He's not the only one.
Mm.
You talk about there being that thin line between cowardice and courage.
Right. Yeah, where the fear of being cowardly can drive one to do courageous things. It's led to terrible wars, but it's also preserved nations and won battles. As I said, I lament the simplification of slapping this label of coward on people and not thinking about it, giving it, it's presenting it as a kind of an answer. When we think about cowardice with care, we actually ask questions. What is our duty in a given situation? What are we so afraid of?
Well, in the case of the Red Badge of Courage, it's only when he realized that it's human nature that somebody else was scared too that he could then find his courage. Boston University Professor Chris Walsh, again, the book is Cowardice, A Brief History. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sure English teachers are going to give me a failing grade on my quick synopsis of Red Badge of Courage. But everyone, your thoughts. What is a coward? What does that mean to you?